good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Hello, welcome to our Wednesday Bible study. Thank you so very much for joining me. My name is Michael Evans, and I am blessed with the opportunity to serve as the pastor here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. All right, let's get right into God's Word. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 18 through 29. Galatians chapter 3, verses 18 through 29. And our topic for today is receiving a good inheritance. Receiving a good inheritance. All right, let's get right into God's Word for today. Receiving a good inheritance. We thank God. This is the letter to the church at Galatia. Paul, the apostle, if you would, wrote to them after having started this church, either the first or the second missionary journey. Biblical scholars go back and forth as to actually when he started or planted this church. But what you need to know about Galatia, Galatia is located in modern-day Turkey. It was also a part of the Asia, they call it the Asia Minor area. Remember, a few weeks ago, as we were talking about Paul, where Paul had a desire to go into parts of Asia, and God wouldn't let him go at the time, but isn't the Lord all right? God just said to him, no, you can't go right now. It does not mean that you will not ever go. But God did allow him to go, and then here we have now at the time this particular letter. This letter was written to this young church at Galatia because Paul was having to defend the faith. There were a group of Christians there who were known as Judaizers. And what Judaizers wanted was for the Gentiles to keep the laws of Moses. They wanted them to be circumcised. They wanted them to keep the feast days. They wanted them to keep kosher. Everything that Jews did, what they said was, you need to first become a Jew, then Christian. You needed to go through these extra steps. But what Paul was teaching them was, you don't have to go through any extra steps in order for you to receive, praise be to God, eternal life, in order for you to be saved. It's a word there, because I have heard people say all kinds of things. If you didn't speak in tongues, you wasn't saved. If you never shouted, you never felt the Holy Spirit. I mean, just fill in the blank, because some of y'all have heard the same thing. But let me help y'all understand something. Praise God for His Word. When you read Romans 10 and 9, it doesn't have anything to say with you need to jump through hoops, you need to turn cartwheels, you need to shout your head off. It doesn't say any of that. All you need to do is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How do you do that? You believe that He is the Son of God, and that God, praise be to Him, did raise Christ from the dead. You believe it, accept it, receive it. The scripture says, thou shalt be saved. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to receive Christ like I received Him, you know, or in other words, go through the same kind of ordeal that I did. Didn't have to be struck by lightning. Didn't have to almost die in a car accident. None of that. Just receive Christ as your personal Savior. And you know what? This is what I love about the United States of America. And it is this. And that is that we have freedom of religious expression, which means that I don't have to worship Him like you in order to be saved, in order to demonstrate my spirituality. I don't have to do that. Listen, I grew up in Houston, Texas. And my grandparents on my paternal side, my dad's side, were interesting. For example, my grandmother, my daddy's mother, Clyde Evans, my grandmother, she grew up in what would be called a silk stocking church. All right. As a matter of fact, history books were called a blue vein church. You know, it was just that. I mean, they had pipe organs back then. They knew all of the hymns. My daddy, Ronnie Evans Sr., he knows every hymn in the book and can sing them. Now, on my grandfather's side, my father's father, my grandfather's side, I mean, they country gospel. I mean, you know, they're toe-tapping, you know, tear up the church kind of people. My great-grandmother, Addie Evans, stood about this tall. And let me tell y'all something. She would tear up a church when she got happy. Now, my grandmother, she would fold her arms when she got happy. Tears would come down her face. She'd rock back and forth. She had the Holy Spirit. So my point is this, y'all. Stop trying to judge people's level of spirituality based upon what they do. Paul is dealing with this very fact even on today, and he highlights the importance of understanding the gospel message. It is about the gospel message. So in verse number 18, the word of God says, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." Now, he says "for," which means it's the continuation of Paul's preceding discussion. And when he says "this inheritance," what he's talking about is this inheritance. He is implying eternal life and being counted righteous by God for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. All right? He is implying that the only way that you receive eternal life, amen, through Christ, is through Christ, is having faith in Christ. Paul's main concern in the first part of this particular verse is that the means by which the inheritance is received is not by the law, but through Christ Jesus. The inheritance through Christ Jesus, eternal life, it is no more of promise. Now, when he talks about that, he's talking about the importance of us having a relationship with Christ, a relationship with God, a relationship not being bound by, if you would, the law of Moses, which was regulations. You had a relationship through Christ, faith in Christ, belief in Christ. That's relationship versus the law, which is regulation. Now, the law could not and cannot save us, and we'll learn that, if you would, here shortly. But his promises, God's promises would be of no value, amen, and faith would be irrelevant if the only way that you could receive God's inheritance was by way of the law. He says here, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Y'all know that Abraham preceded Moses by hundreds of years. Abraham preceded Moses by hundreds of years, which means Moses, the lawgiver, God gave him the law. He was the mediator. God gave him the law. Then he passed the law down to the people. Well, what he's saying is the law had its specific use, but also the promise. Praise be to God. God's promise that he gave it to Abraham, God's promise came through Christ Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. Let me break that down. See, when you are an heir, he's saying God gave it to Abraham by promise. That means you are an heir of Abraham. And with that heir is a guarantee through your descendants. When God gives you something, Abraham, he gives you that promise, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to bless you. You shall be my people. I'm going to bless you. Well, that passes down from one generation to the next generation. But we needed the law, too, because the law is what helped to keep us together. But let me break it down. Don't let me get too far ahead. In verse number 19, he says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." First part of verse number 19. Look at him asking a question. So are you saying we serve the law? No, you can't serve the law. Why? Because the law cannot bring salvation. The law cannot save us. The law was what helped us to know that we were transgressing in the first place. Second part of verse 19, it was added because of transgression. Listen, if you have individuals who don't understand the rules of the road, don't understand the regulations, don't understand why they can't just go out and murder somebody and take their money. If you don't have a guidepost, and later on they'll say a schoolmaster, if you don't have that, if you don't have rails, so to speak, then you'll go off the rails. So God gave the law because humanity was going off the rails. And he had to reel humanity back in so that you would know the difference between right and wrong. So transgression as a word indicates a violation of a boundary. All right? Because of your violation of the boundaries of good and evil, of the boundaries of right and wrong, your transgression, of the boundaries, God sent the law to get you back on track. That was the boundary. But watch this. The boundary that was transgressed, again, was the law. But watch this. Watch the application. The law would only apply till a specific time ordained by God. Now, look at the other side of verse number 19, part B, and you'll discover where it says, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Till the seed should come. So you have the transgression, you have the law given to us because of our transgression, comma, it was good up to the point to where the seed would come. The seed is the promise of God. The promise of God, of course, is Jesus Christ. The Judaizers were attempting to teach that, yeah, you got Jesus, but also, you need to have the law. No, it was the law. It was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Forgive me, I didn't read all of 19. It was, verse 19, as he talks about the law, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. The law, y'all, bless your heart, was given to Moses by God. Moses then served as the mediator, but the promise needs no angelic mediation. The promise came directly to us, amen, from God. Jesus Christ is God wrapped in flesh. He brought to us, he brought it in flesh. Jesus is God wrapped in flesh. And Jesus delivered to us the fulfillment of the promise because he is the promise. He gave it directly to us. Every one of us has the opportunity to receive that promise of salvation from God because we received it directly from God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So then understand. So God's promise is without angelic mediation. Let me read the whole verse one more time. So beginning at verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Amen. Again, the inferiority of the law came in part because it came through a mediator. It came from somebody to somebody. But thanks be to God, he gives it to you himself. Verse number 20 says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. You see that? It's showing you, again, the inferiority of the fact that the mediator is a human. All right? In this particular case, he says, God is one. God differs, his nature differs from the mediator. The mediator, he mediated the nature of the law, but that differed from God's direct interaction with Abraham. God gave it directly, and that's what we're trying to say. That's where faith comes into play, because when you trust and believe in Jesus Christ, you get what you need directly from the Lord. Amen. God will deliver his word to you. Yes, he will. He'll deliver it to you. And then he says also, understanding in verse number 21, he said, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now, what Paul is doing here, y'all, is he is anticipating what the Judaizers are going to say in a tit for tat argument. All right, verse 20. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Then he's anticipating their response. So then, is the law then against the promises of God? He said, God forbid. No, both are holy. The law came from God and the promise came from God. Both are of God and both are holy because ultimately it came from him. However, the two of them serve a different purpose. Again, let me take you back. Hit rewind. I gave you the law so you'll know how to act. I gave you the promise so that you will be saved. I gave you the law so you'll know how to act. I gave you the promise so that you will be saved. The law is regulation, but the promise is relationship. Be mindful of that. It's relationship. It's relationship. It's relationship. A second part of verse number 21. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Amen. But we know, here's the answer, we know that the law was not a giver of eternal life. The law was never intended to be the giver of eternal life. And what Paul is saying is that, and he wants to emphasize that the giving of the law came years after God's covenant with Abraham, which of course played out in Abraham's faith. However, if righteousness could by the law be given, then the work of Christ would be null and void. There would be no need for us to have a Savior. He's helping the Judaizers understand. Don't try to pin people down by keeping these laws. You didn't pass this one. You're going to hell. Well, you messed that one up. You sure going to hell. Or you missed that one. You're going to hell. Listen, y'all. We thank God for the promise because let me tell you, with the promise comes God's grace. We've got to be careful about Bible thumping people to death. You understand what I'm saying? Taking God's word and, well, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Listen, the last time I checked, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The pastor, not a one of us, is walking on water. And then we need to be really careful. Because some of us have forgotten about our past life. Your past life might have just been last week. Might have been last month. Might have been last night. Thank God for grace. It is his grace that saves us. Amen. That allowed us, rather, to be saved. Because he could have wiped all of us out. If it was by the law, if life came by the law, there would have not been any need for Jesus to die on the cross. Verse number 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ must be given to them that believe. Amen. We are all, it is concluded that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen under sin. Listen, no one is righteous without the grace covering of God. No one is. Let me read from you Romans for you. Romans 3 and 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. No big eyes and no little use when it comes to our sinful nature. But thank God for his promise because we don't get to hang out in that sinful place. See, the imagery that is given to us really is somewhat of a contrast, y'all, between the law's condemnation. And the law does condemn us. But praise God, we have life that is provided to us through God's promise. All right. And only those who believe in Christ, only those who have accepted Christ Jesus as their Savior, these are the people who will inherit, praise be to God, eternal life and are the only ones who will be counted as righteous. And I think it's important for us to understand that the recipient of the promise are those who believe. And because of that, those who believe and we're the recipients of the promise, then we know that the seed, praise God, came through Abraham, by way of Abraham. Amen. And it's through the faith of Jesus Christ because of that faithfulness to follow the call of his father, Jesus, praise be to God, has rendered all of us set free. And it has nothing to do with your ethnicity or your ethnic identity. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Be careful about people who put folks in a box based upon their ethnicity, based upon their region in the country, based upon their economic status. That is not who God is, and He has not separated us out like that. It's based upon your belief in Christ as your personal Savior. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Faith here is more. Faith, when he says faith, take your pen, circle that. Faith was more than a person's mental trust or your deep-rooted or deep-seated hope. Now, faith. Paul attributes our faith to God's way of dealing with humanity. Jesus' faithfulness is following the Father, following the way of God. Praise be to God. Understand that. So he's talking about our belief in Christ Jesus as our Lord. Amen. Do not forget that. Christ as our Lord. And you know what? The way that God deals with us, praise him, in this particular era is one in which God's promise is revealed to us through faith. Amen. Through faith. You got to believe. You've got to believe that God has given you access to eternal life. God has. You do not have to continue to wear the garments or the mourning cloths of those people who will not forgive themselves of past deeds. You have the keys to your liberation in your hands. God has given it to you through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to reach out and grab what God has for you. And let me tell you something else. You've got to start speaking life into yourself. You've got to stop talking about what you can't do. You've got to stop believing the negativity. Some of us have been juiced up with so much negativeness and pessimism to where you're going to have to give yourself a soul. You got to change up some stuff. I almost said all change. You almost need to. You're going to have to let out that old muck and allow God to pour His living Spirit within you. That living Spirit comes through your faith and your belief in Christ. Amen. Look at verse number 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Listen, the law showed Michael how bad he was. The law showed me, told me what was right and what was wrong. The law made it clear that the payment for sin, it is death. But look here, the justification. But to be justified, praise be to God, to be justified means to be, you've been acquitted. You've been acquitted of all of your bad deeds. You've been acquitted. Justification. You've been acquitted by faith. I've been acquitted. I'm guilty. So it doesn't say that I was not guilty. But because of my faith, my trust, my belief in my risen Savior, all of my stuff has been washed away. All of your stuff has been washed away. Praise be to God. That we might be justified. Praise Him by faith. Amen. Schoolmaster, show me what I did. Open my eyes. Let me tell you something. You better not be walking around here with your eyes closed. You better be woke. I hear that political crap. I ain't talking about that. You better make sure that you are able to. You got to open your eyes so that you can see that Christ Jesus is the light. Period. Period. Verse 25 says, but after that faith is come. After that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen. We're no longer under a schoolmaster. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, y'all, verses 1 through 4 reads like this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life was set has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Let me read that again. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. What? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He has set us free. Amen. Praise be to God. But by faith, after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Don't you let anybody make you think that if you can't keep every page in this Bible, that you're going to hell. Once you have given your life over to Christ, all you have to do now is just walk in the word, walk in it. Live the life. Yeah, you're going to step off sometime, but thank God for his grace, and thank God for the corrective action of the Holy Spirit. That means that your mind is going to start changing. You're going to start thinking different. You're going to start acting different. Amen. You're going to allow God to guide you. Amen. All right, I'm going to preach it. I'm sorry. Look at verse number 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, listen, I don't care what your ethnicity is, you are all children of God by faith. You have become a child of God, not by the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. All means everybody. All means every person listening to me right now, whether you are in the penitentiary, amen, because we have some, whether you are in jail, or whether you are on Roku, I don't know. Understand that when he says that all of us are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, he didn't say by speaking in tongues. He didn't say by rolling on the floor. Let me help y'all understand something. I'm not giving tongues speaking a hard time. I speak in tongues. Praise be to God. What we're saying is that these are not benchmarks by which you can measure your level of salvation. That's what I'm saying to you. Amen. Verse number 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism, the symbolic sign of the washing, the symbolic sign of your inward change, it symbolizes that. It is your initiation, so to speak, into the body of Christ. What he's saying is that symbolizes your death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. When you come up, when people see you come up, they ought to know that what you're sending to them, you're sending a message to them. I'm no longer who I used to be. I don't act like I used to act because I'm showing you. I'm symbolizing from on the outside what ought to be happening on the inside. And now on the inside, what you ought to see is, yes, sir, I'm putting on my new man. I'm putting on my new person. My new nature is what I'm putting on. And that's the life I am going to live. Now, let me help you understand something. You've got to know this, that in order for you to put on Christ, that newness of life, you're going to have to walk in him. What I mean by that, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. If it's contrary to the word of God, you've got to change that. If it is contrary to all that you are learning now in Scripture, in these Bible studies, you've got to change it. Yes, you can. You change it through intentional steps. You start doing things against your old nature, whatever your old nature was. For example, if your old nature was cussing folk out, you're going to have to start thinking of some new words like God dog, doggone it. You're going to have to think of some new words. You're going to have to think of some new words, changing your vocabulary. If going out drinking on Friday or Saturday, whatever it was, I'm talking about drinking to the point where you get sloppy drunk, the way you end up with no money. The money that you got on Friday is gone by Sunday. You got to change your lifestyle. You've got to be intentional about that. So everything that you used to do, you now have to do something else in its place. That something else needs to be the right way of doing things. You know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to make it real clear so you can hear and understand. Verse 28 says that there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Let's break this down. First, Paul is addressing concerns of an ethnic division. We're still sick in the United States. We are still sick in the United States. You have individuals who think you're going to take their place. You have other folk who say, I need my place. I mean, we're so messed up. Look, I have unconscious bias too. And you have unconscious bias too. And anytime you go around talking about you colorblind, you are a liar. I love you. I'm sorry. It's a lie. You see color. You see color. The question is, do you appreciate what you see? Amen. You allow people to celebrate. We ought to celebrate our diversity. We ought to celebrate our diversity. God made us different on purpose. When you put that together and you start working together, your gifts and your talents are going to complement where I'm coming up short. And you know what? When we complement one another, then we build up one another. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we're able to carry the Christ agenda forward. But be careful about that ethnic division. Secondly, the structure of the Roman Empire required an economy of slavery. Lord have mercy. I mean, it did. So there is neither Greek, Jew nor Greek, that's ethnicity. There's neither bond nor free. In other words, no big eyes, no little U's. Servant and slave master. I don't even like that term, especially as a brother. I just don't like that, but it is what it is. But understand, in Christ, there is equity. In Christ, there is equity. Look at the scripture. Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, equity, male nor female. He's not talking about this gender stuff. Amen. He's not talking about gender identification. What he's talking about here is that women have as much right to worship, to teach, to be taught the word as do men. See, in that culture, the culture of the day, women weren't even allowed to sit in the same room with men. Matter of fact, women weren't allowed to attend the rabbinic schools. You just didn't do that. They learned at home. I mean, somebody taught them if they did, but that they learned there. Then what he's saying is he's torn down the wall of separation, that partition wall that was put up in the garden with the sin of Adam and Eve. He broke that. He tore that down. Everybody now has equal access to God. He takes down, y'all, read this verse as hearing God say, I'm breaking down all barriers. Man, that's why I have a problem with a woman preaching the word of God. I believe that we're in the last days. Since we're in the last days, scripture is clear. And Joe, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, you can't say you're in the last days. You can't say that with your lips. And then you're going to subjugate and put down other folk who's trying to get the word up and the word out. Let me tell you something. Read Genesis. When Balaam was coming out against the children of God and a jackass talk. I know a whole lot of that. Amen. Oh, I almost said it. Amen. Yeah, you know a whole lot of folk got some donkey in them, but still that word goes forward. God breaks down all of the barriers so that every man, woman, boy, and girl will have access to salvation. Now, it's not universal salvation because you've got to accept it. And you got to believe it. He doesn't just throw it on you. No, you don't get it like that. Amen. It's free, but it's not cheap. You got to give up. Amen. You got to give up that old life. You got to give up that old lifestyle. You got to do it. And let me tell you, there are times you got to beat it back. You got to beat it back. You got to beat it down. But praise God, we're the victors. Verse number 29, we're almost done. Verse number 29. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Listen, all people who express faith can be part of the body of Christ. Whether you are a Greek or Gentile, if you be of Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. If you are Jew, then you are of Abraham's seed. And you are heirs. You have heirs. Everybody has access to eternal life. Amen. Access to salvation according to the promise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He says in Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Amen. Amen. Praise God and amen. That is our lesson for today. Galatians chapter 3, verses 18 through 29. And it's a good news in knowing, there is good news in knowing that you can receive a good inheritance through Christ, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from. Let us pray together. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you, Father in heaven, for keeping us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power that we receive, Father, as we preach your word and teach your word. And Lord God, as we receive and hear what you say and how you say it, it is for us. These individuals, Lord God, thank you for those who are listening today. Thank you for those who are participating in this lesson today. I pray, God, that they will take this message if they find it worthy. And Lord God, share it with their friends and loved ones and enemies also. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Thank God and amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. This is our Wednesday Bible study. Hope to see you soon. Sisters, don't forget, if you are here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, this is the weekend for our women's conference. Come and let the Lord just have his way with your heart and in your mind. And be a blessing so that you can go out and bless somebody else. Invite all to come. Thanks be to God for those who give their tithes and their offering. This won't cost you anything but your time. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer. Have a great rest of the week.
Wow. What an amazing lesson we heard just now. We're very grateful for our very own teacher, and we are grateful for you. We're thankful for the work that you continue to do through your giving. Now, if you want to be part of that, you will see that there are various ways of being able to give. Through your giving, we are able to help feed the needy, help clothe the naked, and help those that are in need. And we are thankful for being the church in the community. Whether it's giving online, whether it's paying your tithes in person, we thank God for each and every one of you.